Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, Blanche, and Carta.
Blanche and Carta. Sesame, Blanche, and Carta. So...
SBE. Yep.
Okay. Why?
Because that's my name, Sesame Blanche and Carta.
Why?
Why does the universe exist? Why, you know, why do stars exist? Why does rain fall from the sky? I mean, it's infinity. It's just, you know.
Rain Wilson falls from the sky? I'm confused.
Yeah, well, he better have a parachute, though.
Because, okay, you know, good. Just making sure he's not going to hit the ground hard and...
No, he better not.
Yeah.
Hope not. But, I'd be there with, like a big trampoline just to make him, have him bounce on that. And, of course, that wouldn't really hold him. But you know, it's some kind of, you know, thing to break a fall. We can't have Rainn Wilson dying on this. Not now.
No.
Can't do it. No. Never.
He should live forever. And, so anyways, today on the show, we are covering a pilot for a short-lived television sitcom called The Golden Palace. Or Golden Palace, I should say. Yeah. I guess it is The Golden Palace, because it was The Golden Girls, now The Golden Palace. Yes, it was a sequel series to The Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Aired for one season of 24 episodes, starting in September 18th of 1992, with the pilot episode called The Golden Palace.
Seems very straightforward, you know.
Directed by Terry Hughes and written by Susan Harris, who is one of the co-creators of the show, as well as one of the co-creators of Golden Girls.
Yes. I like it.
So, first off, what were your initial reactions to this, Matt, after watching it?
I thought it was really funny. It was witty, just like the Golden Girls were. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't have too many memories of Golden Girls, so I can't base it on too much, but just the sort of back and forth, they're really good at that. That show in particular was like really good at the whole banter.
Yeah.
I don't remember a whole lot of shows being as good at it as they were. And it really seemed to kind of just pick off where they left off. I watched the first three episodes and it didn't really feel like a spinoff. Like, usually spinoffs aren't that good.
Yeah.
But this one actually felt like it wasn't just like a money grab. Like, oh, let's just get the Golden Girls and put them into a different environment. Like, it felt like its own show, like a new show, you know?
Yeah, and I'd like to mention, too, to people that this is now on Hulu. So you can watch the whole series on Hulu. as well as all of the Golden Girls on Hulu as well. Mm-hmm. Hulu is not paying us, but if they'd like to, it's Mike at CullenPark.com. Give me money, Hulu.
Just do it, yeah. Give them money. Do it.
I don't care how much. Just give me some. I'll share it with Sesame and Carta.
Sesame Blanche and Carta.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Sesame Blanche and Carta.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a long name, but...
Yeah, that's all right.
I mean, you got like three names. Does that mean you're going to like assassinate a president or something?
Whoa. No, no, I'm not. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Just making sure.
If I was, I wouldn't be like an idiot and just show up with like a bunch of knives and guns and tell the police that that's what I was there to do, like that one guy did like a week ago. But
yeah. Well, that was good.
For yep.
You know, probably shouldn't do that.
No.
So yeah, I really liked this episode. I thought it was pretty funny. I remember watching the show when it was on originally. Interesting thing, like Golden Girls ran on NBC for all the years it was on. NBC wasn't going to commit to a full season of this show, so they took the show over to CBS.
Mm.
So it's interesting, a spinoff of a show aired on a different network than the original show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What happens in this episode here, Matt?
They sold the house, Rose is kind of, you know, she's sort of having anxiety and stuff, doesn't really want to leave, and, you know, Blanche and Sophia are kind of just sort of talking her into it, like, hey, you know, this is a good thing for our lives, and, you know, do something new, you know, it's like a new chapter in our lives type thing. You know, they got the typical banter going back and forth, that kind of Golden Girls, you know, the golden, if you will, of the Golden Girls. And the movers eventually just end up carrying them, like, when they're all sitting on the couch. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then they go into the Golden Palace, and then there's a very young Don Cheadle.
Yes.
Who's the manager, pretty much everything at the hotel. I mean, he does pretty much every, like, manager. He's also, like, delivering towels to people's rooms and just pretty much just does everything there. And he's kind of, like, he's kind of rude to them at first because he's, like, he's so busy. He's trying to do, like, everything. And eventually Blanche tells them that they're the owners, and then he immediately, you know, changes course. Like, oh, welcome. And I was, you know.
They told us that they were beautiful, but didn't know it was you. Stuff like that. Yeah,
I was doing that whole thing, you know, like, and then. So that's pretty interesting, and it kind of sets off a relationship between Blanche and his name was Ronald. No, Roland. Sorry, Roland.
Yeah,
Roland. Because you know, Blanche feels, you know, that he's kind of like doesn't respect her authority and stuff. So that kind of goes into a sort of arc in the next couple episodes, which is interesting. But
oh, cool.
But yeah, I mean, pretty much just, it's like they don't really know what they're doing, and, you know, they're like just, they're way over their heads, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, first off, we also meet a couple other characters. Oliver is the foster child of Roland, who lives in the hotel as well, and helps out. We also meet the hotel chef, Chewy Castiles. Played by Cheech Marin, a pre-Nash Bridges Cheech Marin, post-Cheech and Chong Cheech Marin.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's in, like, that sweet spot, you know, that sweet spot between post marijuana Cheech and Chong and pre- was it called Nash
Bridges?
Nash Bridges.
I loved that show for some reason.
But it was. It was really good.
Yeah.
And also, it was probably post Born in East L.A. too. That movie that came out, was that in the '80s. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Just side note. This is, I know, it's so random. but it reminded me of something. So, me and my brother, we used to like do like internet pranks, like when we were kids, like before that was even a thing. We're like, but not like videos. Like we would like set up like email addresses, like pretending to be other people, and then we'd sign up with those email addresses, and then like go on like different like web pages, like guitar.com or whatever, where people would just talk about guitar stuff, and we didn't realize that we didn't even need to make fake email addresses to make an account, but we did anyway. So I guess it was just like method acting at that point. And like we had this whole thing where what was the other guy, Nash Bridges, the guy from Miami Vice, what was his name?
Don Johnson.
He was saying that he was Don Johnson, and he'd go on like different like message boards, like, "Oh, it's Don Johnson from Miami Vice," and then just starts talking about like a guitar pedal or whatever. And then I would be Cheech Marin. Such a stupidest thing ever, but like we thought it was like the funniest thing ever. They just like, and because people would get pissed, that's the other thing too. Like, "You're not really Don Johnson, shut the fuck up!" Like getting really mad about it. So like we just kept doing it then. And then we take like a picture of like Don Johnson or Cheech, and like Photoshop like a guitar like in their hands, like, "See, look, it's really me." I don't know.
Wow.
I was like 15, 16 at the time. He was like 20. But
okay, I'm just glad this wasn't like last week or something.
Well, we did do it last week too, but we had to go back to the Wayback Machine though, because I don't think guitar.com exists anymore. But oh god, the early days of the internet were so fun.
Yes, they were.
The simple pleasures that we take for granted for now, but were just like hilarious.
I remember I used to have I used to write funny stories and send them to people once a week when I first got the internet. And some of them started spreading around throughout the country, which was kind of cool. Because I found out like they would be in people's dorm rooms and stuff.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
See, because yeah, back then it was so easy to become internet famous too. Yeah. Because there was like not everyone was doing like memes. I mean, that was technically like a meme before it was a meme. Yeah. Like it was a written meme, not a picture or whatever, like a story, and Yeah, like plus two, that show we were reviewing last week about Stark Raving Mad.
Yeah.
The author was like, "Could you believe there are like 28 websites dedicated to me?" Like, and he like acted like that was a big deal. I'm like, 28 websites, really? Like,
yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, back to the show here. The women learn from Roland that the previous owners had fired much of the staff to make the hotel appear profitable. And the hotel has no money to hire new employees. So they only have 1 week to make the hotel's banknote payment. This all seems illegal to me. But anyways,
yeah.
Might not be, though, but it just seems kind of far-fetched. But it's a sitcom in the 90s. I'll let it go.
The whole thing is far-fetched. I mean, how do they even...
Yeah.
How did Blanche and them even get the idea to buy this hotel in the first place? Like,
yeah.
How was the opportunity even presented to them?
Yeah, because, I mean, it... Again, you know, I'll also mention that we have all of the... We have three of the four ladies from Golden Girls. Dorothy was not... had gotten married and moved away, so she's not part of this. And that was because B. Arthur was basically didn't want to do the show anymore, but the other girls kind of did, so they created this as a continuation. They have no money to hire new employees, and so basically the women have to. And Roland and Oliver have to basically do everything. Chewy quits at one point because Sophia comes in and takes over the kitchen and is like, you know, we're going to make Italian food. And he's like, I want to make Mexican food and blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he quits, but then he comes back and gets his job back by flirting with Sophia. and then they decide that they're going to, you know, do a little bit of his way, a little bit of her way, you know, sort of, you know, make both Italian and Mexican food.
Which is weird in the sense that, like, this is a hotel, right?
Yeah.
So usually hotels don't, like, have, like, a theme.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, only Mexican or only Italian, you know what I mean? Like,
usually they have other items on the menu, too, but...
Yeah, exactly. Like, a burger or a sandwich or, you know, something.
Yeah.
But you know, then again, though, they only had one chef, and they couldn't hire anyone else, so, you know...
Yeah.
He cooks what he knows, you know, so that's you know, his recipes or whatever. There's a lot of old lady, young men, or youngish men, like, flirting going on, or at least, like, implied flirting. Like, it was really interesting. Like, Blanche, I was like, I'm like, is she gonna bang this pool guy? Like, you know, like,
probably.
I mean, don't get me wrong, she is an attractive old lady, but still, it's like, come on, like, chill out a little bit.
She was she was always a kind of a, you know, the, you know, she got around. That's what I'll say.
Sophia is always calling her name like a slut and, you know, tramp.
Yeah,
and
all stuff. It's funny, you know, when Sophia just walks by and says it. It's just...
I know, because she's mad at her about something. I forgot what she was mad at her about, but,
basically, okay, so what ends up happening is, Sophia and Rose are very upset at Blanche for getting them into this situation, because I guess the whole idea of buying the hotel was Blanche's idea.
Oh, okay.
And so they're kind of pissed and everything, because they even say at one time, it's like, I wish Dorothy was here. She could help us. And then, is what Rose says. And Sophia says, I don't even think Dorothy could get us out of this situation. And she's like, no, but she could beat up Blanche.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. They're really upset, but Blanche ends up convincing them that they can, you know, operate this hotel. There's a big group of travel agents, like, having some kind of, you know, conference going on there at the hotel that's happening that week. So they got to make sure that things are going well. You know, wants to, you know, they want to make sure that these people are all satisfied, so that could help out the, you know, future of the hotel. You know, things of that nature. They're just basically worried about going under, because if they do, then they can't have the hotel anymore.
Or anything.
And they basically lost all their fucking money. So, do you want to take a break here really quick, Matt, and we'll come back and talk about the rest of this?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are back. How's it going there?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Okay. So, what else is happening in the show here?
Well, whoever this is, who, you know, commandeered Mike's microphone.
I got Mikey's mic here. I got him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They, you know, kind of not in order here, but. But Chewie, he asked for his job back, like you said, and flirted with Sophie. But also, when he first came in the kitchen, she thought, he's like, you know, he said hi or whatever, and Sophie thought it was Dorothy. I'm like, okay, that was kind of weird. And I don't know if, what that was about, like, just she's senile or something or what, but
I think it was just trying to be funny because Sophia, you know, Dorothy had like kind of a deeper voice, so.
Oh, so maybe that's what it was about. Yeah. Okay. That's I was wondering. And, man, I wish I could remember all those details. Because I watched three episodes in a row, so yeah, they're all kind
of. So you don't want to get them mixed up.
The first three were pretty good. But, you know, they like all apologize to each other, you know, for like doubting each other or whatever. Plus, two, Blanche was kind of acting like it was like her hotel type of thing. It's like, well, you know, we all got this together, you know, type of stuff. And Oliver is like, you know, I actually don't remember much about Oliver, to be honest, in this particular episode.
He doesn't have much happening here in this episode.
Really, not a lot happened. It was a pilot, so it was just kind of getting started. I do remember that they got a really good review though from the travel agents or whatever.
Yeah, so they were able to stay open. Things all happened good, and then at the end they all decide to they're all sitting there eating cheesecake at a table like they did on Golden Girls. And it's like, how does this work? And you know, and then they talk about what, you know, they just talk about their day, blah blah blah, and you know, and then Rose is like, sometimes I talk about my hometown of St. Olaf. Yeah. And then they're all, like, excited about it. And then the girls are like, you know, rookies.
Yeah, like a rookie mistake, you know, like, great, she's going to go on some weird.
So do you want me to read trivia about this show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so the production team were so desperate for B. Arthur to return for the second and third seasons that they offered to cut down the episode number and work around her schedule. Arthur declined the offer several times. Had Arthur returned, the second season would have seen the girls return to their Miami house and the Golden Girls would have resumed.
Oh, wow.
So they would have just totally changed the show. That just sounds stupid.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it was due to be renewed for a second season, but was canceled at the last moment. Yeah, B. Arthur, I guess, does a guest appearance in two episodes of the show. As Dorothy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the syndication of the series is handled by Disney ABC Domestic Television. Although the series has never been syndicated as a standalone series, Lifetime, during the time it owned the rights to Golden Girls, carried the Golden Palace on several occasions, running the series in rotation as a de facto eighth season of the Golden Girls. The current rights holders to Golden Girls have to date not picked up Golden Palace, except for now it's on Hulu. This probably was written before that. So, CBS used the Golden Palace as one of four comedies assembled on Friday night in an effort to combat ABC's TGIF comedy block. The Golden Palace was grouped with Major Dad, Designing Women, and Bob, all of which were either successful comedies prior to the move, or in the case of Bob, featured a previously successful sitcom star, Bob Newhart. The premiere of this show garnered solid ratings, and the show won its time slot for the first few weeks, but viewership fell steadily for the entire block as the season progressed. CBS had scheduled the show for a second season, but canceled the show and the entire block the night before they announced their 1993 fall schedule. The only one of the four aforementioned shows to get picked up for the 93-94 season was Bob, which then hired Betty White to join its revamped cast. So she joined Bob in season two of that show. 24 episodes of Golden Palace were produced. Yeah.
Wow.
Susan Harris, Paul Gunger Witt, and Tony Thomas all pitched their Golden Girls successor series to NBC in early 1992 as a way to continue the saga of Blanche Rose and Sophia after Bea Arthur's departure from the role of Dorothy. Warren Littlefield, the head of NBC, committed to airing The Golden Palace with a 13-episode order for the season. However, CBS soon entered the picture and fueled a bidding war for the new series, offering a full 24-episode order. Witt, Thomas, and Harris tried to get Littlefield to improve his NBC deal, but he refused to extend his episode order, citing that the declining ratings of The Golden Girls in its seventh season made it risky to give the spinoff a longer commitment. The producers thus went with CBS, which agreed to market The Golden Palace as a show with its own voice separate from its parent show. Originally, the chef was going to be a British guy, played by Alexei Sayle. But he was replaced by Cheech Marin before the pilot was shot. So basically he was fired, but he was on a 7-year contract, so I guess he still got paid for the season. Yeah, Andy Richter actually had auditioned for the role of the chef as well, but lost to Cheech Marin.
That would have been interesting, actually, to see. I actually think that may have been, he may have been actually a better role for that, now that I'm thinking about it, or picturing it.
Yeah, credit was never given where it was due. The original concept and creative idea was taken directly from Who's the Boss, Mona, which was to be a spinoff for that show, and aired 5 years before this premiered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, basically there was a similar concept where Mona would take over a hotel. Yeah. But that's kind of a generic... I wouldn't say they stole
it. It is kind of, it's not unique of a concept, but...
No. Pretty sure that other things, but I think that's just somebody trying to be bitter or something and saying that in the trivia.
Yeah, like a Mona Stan. Yes. Yeah, they stole the...
Who's the Boss Stan, you know?
Yeah.
Mona was the boss, by the way. I'm joking.
That was Angela. Angela
was the boss, according to Abed on Community.
He proved it.
Any other final thoughts here, Matt, before we wrap things up? I don't want to read any reviews because most of them are actually positive for it, so it's not fun to read those.
We can't read the positive ones yet.
No.
unless they're sarcastic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts here? I mean, we did this kind of in honor of the fact that, sadly, Betty White has passed away, and now all of the Golden Girls have moved on to the Golden Palace in the sky.
Yeah, I was going to say, with you know, all the cheesecake that they can handle or whatever.
Betty White spiritual is up there, cheesecake. Up there in the St. Olaf in the sky.
I don't know, because St. Olaf doesn't sound like a great place.
Maybe it's Miami in the sky.
Miami, because you got to watch, was it the second or third episode? I don't remember, but she was saying, you know, because they were still trying to find ways to, you know, drum up more money or whatever, because obviously, just because they got, you know, their heads above water doesn't mean everything was just immediately fixed, you know?
Yeah.
So they needed to still make some more money. And Rose was talking about sorry, and say Olaf when they were kids, where said, you know, her and her, I think it was, she said her and her sister, or so, I don't remember exactly who she said, used to have a kissing booth, and then people from miles away would you know, show up, and they, you know, made a fortune or whatever. And they're like, and then Roland's like, you mean you guys just like kissed like hundreds of strangers? Like, no, kissing each other. like who came to see that? Mostly older men in raincoats. I'm like, holy shit. Are you serious? Like, they let that?
That's funny. That was on the 90s.
It's funny, but man, I was like, holy shit.
Wow. Yeah, it was interesting to see a young Don Cheadle in the show, too. Yeah. And, yeah, he had a lot of nice things to say about Betty White when she passed away, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. About the one thing he said, too, was, like, it was interesting, a little story I read about how, because lighting is kind of weird when it comes to different skin tones on, you know, on sets like that.
Mm-hmm.
And without being asked by anybody, Betty White actually made her makeup a little bit darker, so it'd be closer, so they wouldn't have to spend as much time lighting things.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't, you know. So basically what it was is because she had pretty pale skin, whenever they were in scenes together, the lighting would have to be readjusted and everything.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But to make it work out, she went and told the makeup people to put on a little bit darker makeup on her, because she knew this, because she's been in TV for years.
Oh, right, yeah. Because I remember seeing something like that a few years ago, where it was about, like, just, like, the subtle things that, you know, you might not think about if you're not, like, you know, in the industry or whatever, where they were saying, like, you know, like when they first started actually, like, allowing black people to be in films and stuff, it was, like, pretty much didn't really have any consideration for, like, their skin tones when it came to lighting, because it wasn't really about them. It was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, they were, quote, cast in the best light, for pun intended. You know what I mean? But literally, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even a joke. It's literally true. Like, it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if you notice, like, old movies and stuff like that, like, it's like, it just looks different, you know, because the lighting was just not meant for, you know, for that. Of course, you know, if I say that now, people are going to be like, oh, you're just being woke or whatever. It's like, no, it's just, it's historical.
It's a technical thing. Yeah. It has nothing to do with race. I mean, it does with the fact that that people's skin tones are different colors, but yeah, it's, exactly. You know, it's just a technical thing. It'd be the same thing if you're trying to light a dark couch as opposed to a white couch. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, and it's true. It's like, and if you favor one over the other, then that's where the social implications come in, you know. Yeah. And but again, you're not allowed to say that anymore, because, you know, you're being woke, and truth is woke now. You're not allowed to be truthful, so, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because woke is bad and truth is bad, and you know, so it's cool.
And the world is controlled by aliens. And yep. Yep. Wait, what?
Reptiles specifically, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Reptilian aliens. Yeah. And Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson.
He's the chief of the reptilian race, yeah. Oh, God.
Anyways, I just think this show, as well as, like, anything you watch Betty White in, shows her talent. And, I mean, this whole cast was great, actually, in this show. I mean, and in Golden Girls as well. I mean, those, the three ladies here, you know, they bounce off each other so well. I mean, it's sad when you read certain things where, I guess, back behind the scenes when Golden Girls was on, for some reason, Betty White and B. Arthur, like, hated each other.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you find that out, and you're like, ah, that sucks, because they played such good, you know, but they didn't let it get to them, you know, when it came to acting, you know? So, I don't know why they didn't like each other, but, But Rue McClanahan was friends with both of them, so it was just, you know, and so was Estelle Getty. So, but, you know, Estelle Getty, who is, like, playing, you know, like, 87 in the show, was, like, the same age as Betty White, so...
Right, yes, the funny part. Yeah, yeah. She was actually technically the youngest. Like,
you wanted the, maybe, well, I think Rue McClanahan was actually younger, but she's the second youngest of the Golden Girls. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think she was actually younger than Bea Arthur, who she played the mom of. So it's like,
wow.
Or right around the same age, whatever it was. It's funny when that happens in TV shows and stuff, you know. It's like, I remember this guy, Jed Allen, played Edward Quartermain for a short time on General Hospital. And at the same time, Stuart Damon was playing his son, and he is actually, and Jed Allen was a month younger than Stuart Damon.
Oh, God. Wow.
But he looked older, so it's just like...
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, you never know with these things. It's funny. Like, you know, like I mean... Sean Connery is only like 11 years older than Harrison Ford, and he played his dad in Indiana Jones, you know, so it's like, but yeah, interesting thing. I mean, I recommend people watching this show a lot. I think, you know, it's good fun. Watch the original Golden Girls as well. You know, it's just, watch anything with Betty White in it. She's just hilarious. I love her in The Proposal. With Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. It's a really good movie.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. She's funny in that too. So yeah. Check that out. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, she basically was the first lady of television. Like, I mean, sure Lucy got all the credit as being like the big, you know, forerunner of women in television, but she was out there at the same time. And, so, you know, she was there from, she was literally part of television before television was a thing.
Yeah.
Cause not everybody had television, and she was actually part of some test pilots and stuff for things, for television shows before television even existed. So
that's why she was so used to like doing so much output, because back then, it was like you were working for like 4 or 5 hours every single day. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to film this, you know, like, I mean, like they were like there constantly, like they had to do their own commercials too. So like, instead of like going to a commercial, she would just do the ad herself, just read whatever the product was, you know? So it's like, can you imagine like just multitasking like that? Like doing like three different types of jobs essentially. You're doing the regular acting, then you're doing the commercial acting, then you're doing like a almost like a news type of thing, because she would read off like, you know, like reviews and stuff like that. Like just crazy. So she was so used to that kind of output that she's like, yeah, sure, I'll just do like a million movies and TV shows. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, she was literally like working until the day she died almost. So it's like,
I know, it's crazy. Total legend, like for real. It's not just because like Betty White's become like a sort of like meme, like, oh, Betty White, like, no, like she literally was like a legend.
Yeah. It's I mean, we've lost a lot of people recently, which really kind of sucks in 2022 so far. Maybe by the time this airs, we might have lost more, sadly. Who knows? But,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Saget just recently passed away, too. Hope to talk about him sometime in the near future, too. But, yeah, I will leave this episode. I will leave you with a thing that Jeff Ross said, who was friends with Bob Saget. He said, he said Bob Saget had to pass away so we could get that bitch Betty White off out of the news. Just joking.
Wow.
He was saying it sarcastically.
No, I know. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I was I made, you know, a song recently doing like mashups or whatever, you know, and I put Bob Saget at the end of it, and like it was just like this small bit, but I remember what it was from because I had watched that special when it came out, and I didn't really know much about Bob Saget other than I knew that his comedy routine was like a lot more adult than like the like Full House and stuff, but I didn't really know the extent of it. So like I was watching it once and I'm like, oh my god, like, and he was talking about this guy, like he would like, you know, he was kind of this razzing like this guy in the front row, like you just doing that kind of as a joke or whatever. And he was like, I think he was talking about like having sex with animals or some shit. I don't know. Like it was something weird. And like he was like talking with the guy in the front row. He's like, you know, this guy needs to be careful. Like, you know, like, look, dude, like I'm just saying you look a little bit like Screech, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's endearing, you know, everybody here likes you. Like, you just be careful though. Cause you look like a guy who just like really needs someone badly in his life. And it was just like the funniest thing like, I've ever heard. Like, just like just the way he delivered it, you know, like it.
And now it's sad that both Bob Saget and Screech are both passed away. So
I know that's the thing. And Dustin Diamond last year.
Yeah. So yeah.
But I must have watched that special when it came out, like probably on Comedy Central a few years. I think it was like maybe 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But I probably watched that thing like 10 times. I thought it was like the funniest thing. Not necessarily the content, because you know me, I don't really like dirty humor necessarily, but just how he talks, like the actual his voice itself, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the delivery, it just
Well, anyways, we'll get more into Bob Saget probably next week or the week after, sometime soon. Got a show I want to cover about him. Anyways, so any final thoughts here before we wrap things up, Matt?
No.
Okay, so everybody, make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to us now, or subscribe everywhere if you want. I don't care. Also, give us a 5-star review anywhere that you can review us. I know you can on Apple, and you also can on Spotify now. Also, check out our website, all2real2.com. If you got any questions or suggestions for future things, give me a message at mike@cullenpark.com. Also, check out our TeePublic, our Patreon, and share the show with some friends. You know, if you're listening to this and like it, just tell 2 people about the show and ask them to tell 2 people.
Yeah.
And that's how we grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, be present and love everybody while they're still here, people. If anything's taught us, you know, things, you know, like be nice to everybody, be kind, like Betty White was. You know, wear a mask because, you know, there's a lot of people dying now because of things. Wear a mask if you have to. Get vaxxed. Wear a condom. And until next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.